And we'll jump right into the Word of God today. 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. I was talking with a gentleman the other day, and we were talking about just all the great things in life there is to experience. And I reminded him, you know, the Scripture says He gives us richly all things to enjoy. Isn't He a good Father? He doesn't just give us, He gives us richly all things to enjoy. So when you're enjoying your next, you know, you have the next opportunity to enjoy your grandkids, your car, your hobby, your dog, your cat, whatever it is that makes you happy around your house. Just remember, God gave you that as an expression of His heart to you to richly enjoy, for you to richly enjoy. Amen. So enjoy it big time. Amen. Partake of it with a grateful heart. Partake of it knowing that it's a gift from your Father. Praise the Lord. Are you ready to read the Word? Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for the Word of God. We thank You, Lord, that You are our teacher and that You illumine our path, Lord. The entrance of Your Word gives light to us. And we thank You, Lord, right now in the next few moments as we hear the Word of God, that our hearts are made good soil to produce 30, 60, 100-fold unto You. And we thank You for it, Father. Thank You for making us Your children. What great love You've lavished upon us to be called the children of God. And we thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. 2 Peter 1, 2. I'm going to read it slowly. Grace and peace. Amen. Yep. And this goes back to what I said a moment ago. The world is hurting out there. They don't have grace. They're trying to do it on their own. You ever try to do it on your own? Mm-hmm. It's like trying to drive your car with the parking brake on. Yep. You got this grinding sound going on. When you and I try to do it on our own, it's not fun. But when grace is flowing, praise the Lord. I said, when grace is flowing, then there's what? Peace. There's peace in living when grace is there. Amen. Grace and peace, the apostle says here, be multiplied, not just added. Aren't you glad God's into multiplication? Oh, what a blessing. Not just addition, multiplication. Amen. Some of you are going to reach out and get that. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. How does it come? Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Those two are partners, not partners in crime. They're partners in good stuff. Amen. God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. They teamed up together and accomplished salvation through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And because of it, grace and peace can be what? Multiplied. This is a word for us in 2024. Every time we gather, the Holy Spirit speaking. Are you listening? And a couple weeks ago, He quickened that word multiplied. And it's like he highlighted it to say this to us. This is your promise for 2024. I'm multiplying this to you. Amen. For those of you that will reach out and take it, you'll have an amazing year because it won't just be you trying to slug your way through life. You know, Jacob and Esau were two very different individuals. Esau was this sturdy, stout hunter dude. He was covered in hair. He was the epitome. He was a man's man. And Jacob hung around the tents, you know, trying out new recipes from Pinterest, one guy said, with his mom, you know, making stew, learning how to make good red stew. And Esau's out in the woods hunting, you know, with all that deer stuff all over him to try to mask his scent. Esau represents the man's man who tries to do it on his own. He's a self-made man. Jacob had nothing to offer. He's a swindler. He's a mama's boy. He wound up being a liar. His name actually means heel grabber. You know, like when someone goes by and you grab their heel, you know, while they're not looking. That's the kind of guy Jacob was. And God changed his heart. Amen. Through grace. God said, I choose you, Jacob. God chose him and poured His grace out upon Jacob. And Jacob became blessed of God. Jacob became what? Israel. The name Israel, we're going to learn about it a little bit tonight with the guys. We're going to talk about it. It means to struggle with God and man. God saw Jacob's struggles with his brother. And the angel, when he wrestled with Jacob, that must have been something to see, don't you know? An angel and a mortal man struggling in the dirt. I'd have loved to have seen that fight. And the angel stands up and he says, what is all this about? And he says, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. What does Jacob realize? I got nothing. I need your blessing. And the angel says, I'm changing your name to Israel because you've struggled with man and with God and you have overcome. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Somebody fought the fight for you. You don't have to struggle with an angel. Jesus came to earth and fought the fight for us and overcame, so that now we can be called the spiritual Israel, the prince with God. Amen. Those who have overcome, not by our own wrestling, not by our own strength or efforts, but because of him who wrestled for us. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. Give him praise today. He's worthy. Praise the Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied. Jesus got what we deserve so we can get what he deserves. Jesus got what you and I deserve at the cross. Fully. Amen? I mean, it was a terrible punishment. God darkened the whole earth because it was a terrible sight to see. He did not want creation to see it. So he darkened the earth for 3 hours, the Bible tells us, from noon to 3 o'clock. It was dark, completely dark. Because Jesus was receiving, not just for you, because you're not that bad a sinner, really, David. But for all of mankind. Right? I mean, we're not that bad. But Jesus took it for all of mankind. So we think, right? He bore it for all of mankind. And it was a terrible thing. Jesus got what we deserve so we can have what he deserves. Remember the scripture we read last week? Revelation 5:12. Worthy are you. Amen. Worthy are you. The song in heaven says, Jesus, worthy are you to receive all these things, wisdom, riches, power, all those things that he deserves. Now you and I, in a sense, respectfully, deserve because of what he did for us at the cross. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Yeah, it's true. The writer of Hebrews describes it this way. He says, how will we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It's not just a salvation, folks. We have a great salvation. Romans 8:37 tells us we are more than conquerors. What does that mean? Well, I don't know it fully. I mean, when God talks, it's got so much meaning, but I have a partial revelation. For me, it means this. Let's say my overcoming struggle was with cigarettes. And a guy over here, his overcoming struggles with alcohol. And a lady over here, her struggles with gossiping, whatever. Every man has a struggle, don't you know? We won't sit and talk about it today at church, but everybody knows that everybody has one. But Jesus came, and for me, he conquered my biggest struggle, your biggest struggle. But you know what? He conquered all of it. So even the struggles I don't have, he's already conquered them. So my biggest struggle, done for. Yep. And then some. Amen? That's how he can call me more than a conqueror. Nothing you'll face is greater than what Jesus has done for you. I heard it said this way. Nothing that happens to you is greater than what Jesus has done for you. Amen. Amen? Nothing that happens in life. And there's some terrible things that happen to us in life. I heard a story this week told, and it was heart-wrenching. Terrible details about a young lady's life, some things she had gone through. And I just said, man, I've had a great life, you know. It humbled me. But there's some terrible things that happened to us in life. But I'm telling you, nothing that happens is greater than what's happened for you and I at the cross. Amen? Jesus has made us more than conquerors. And he has opened the gates, the floodgates, if you will, for blessings to come our way. Yes. Blessings are now unleashed upon you. Did you know it?
Yes.
It's not about your earning. It's not about, you know, well, maybe today I'll be good enough. God can, you know, trickle a blessing on me. No, I'm telling you, Jesus was good enough that the Father is unleashing every day upon our life. The Niagara Falls of heaven. He's opened the Hoover Dam, if you will. He's blown it open. Jesus has. Do you believe it?
Yes.
Five of you are going to get that. Last week we talked about the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham. Do you remember what that was defined as? The blessing of Abraham is defined as this singular thought. Righteousness by faith. Righteousness by faith. That's what the blessing of Abraham refers to. When you read that phrase, the blessing of Abraham, Galatians 3:13, Christ became a curse for us, that the blessing of Abraham might come unto the Gentiles. You heard that phrase before in the New Testament, right? The blessing of Abraham. What that specifically refers to is this one thing that Abraham achieved, what he laid hold of, righteousness by faith. Let's look at that in Genesis chapter 15. Would you turn there real quick, please? Genesis 15. You know, there's so much to learn of the Bible. Repetition is a needed thing. Amen?
Yes.
I've made it a goal since about 6 years ago to read through the Bible every year. And I'm telling you, you can't read it enough. There's just so much to learn. Amen? So repetition's okay. That's why I want you to just put your eyes on this in Genesis 15, verse 5. And he brought him forth, talking about God. God brought Abraham out of his tent, looked up at the sky, said, now look towards heaven. Tell the stars if you can, if you're able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. God's talking to an old man about his future children, his descendants. And look at what verse 6 says. And he, Abraham, believed in the Lord, and God counted it to him for righteousness. God's talking to Abraham about his future kids, and Abraham just simply from the heart says, I believe that. And God says, righteous. Abraham got the promise, and he got righteousness in the whole transaction. Isn't that amazing? God's just talking to him about a promise. It's like God saying, in 2 years, I'm going to give you a new car. And you go, I believe that. And God says, not only are you going to get your car, but you're righteous in my eyes. Just because you said that from your heart, just because you believed from the heart, you're not only going to get the promise, you're going to get righteousness. That's what this verse is saying. He got righteousness. Now, turn over to 24, Genesis 24, a few chapters over to the right. 24:1. This verse epitomizes to what degree God's blessing had overflowed in Abraham's life. Genesis 24:1. And Abraham was old and well stricken, not in his body, but in age. Amen. That means he kept, you know, year after year, kept tearing calendars off the wall. He's getting up to 120, 130, 140. He lived to, I think, 147. He was well stricken in age, and the Lord blessed Abraham. How? Come on, read it out loud with me.
In all things.
That is the blessing of Abraham overflowing. And where did it start? Where did it start? It started when he believed a promise, and God credited it to him in chapter 15 as righteousness. In other words, God said, your faith is as good to me as good behavior. Let me put it that way to you. Your faith, Abraham, your believing from the heart about this promise of a child in your old age is as good to me. I'm going to credit that in your bank account as a lifetime worth of good behavior. That's what that means when it says it was credited to him as righteousness. God said, I'm going to treat you as if you had behaved well all your life, perfectly, actually. And because of righteousness happening in chapter 15, what do we see in chapter 24? Blessing in all things. Say it with me. Blessing in all things. Well, I got good news for you. This is a pattern. See, this happened way back in the book of Genesis, the beginning of the story, right? This pattern is an example of how the new covenant works. How does the new covenant work? You and I believe on Jesus, and God credits that as righteousness for us. And righteousness results in what? Blessing in all things. Amen. If you really get that to the extent that God's promising it, I'm telling you, your life is just going to overflow.
Yeah.
I mean overflow. Every area. There are people who have money, but they're not happy. You can have money and be happy. That's called the blessing in all things. I mean, it's a terrible thing for someone to be rich financially and impoverished in the joy bucket. Impoverished in their heart as far as joy. They can't enjoy what they have. Amen. That's why I say you go out on a beautiful day and you stop and pause and you take it in and you actually have a moment of enjoyment. That's being blessed in all things.
Yes.
You're surrounded with good things and you enjoy them. Mm-hmm. Amen? That's just one example. Abraham was blessed in all things. Me too. How about you?
Yep.
In all things.
In all things.
In your job, your health, your peace,
yes,
your kids, your family, your mental state, your sleep at night. Your digestion, every part of you, blessed in all things.
Yes.
All means what?
All.
There's nothing, it doesn't leave anything out. And it all started with righteousness. But not righteousness that came from his actions, from good behavior. If you look at his life, he'd lied about one or two, maybe three times or more. By the time he got to chapter 24 in Genesis, lied about his wife because he's afraid he's going to lose his life when he'd go in these foreign countries. These kings would take her because she was a beautiful woman. She was being beautified by what? Grace. Beautified supernaturally, and the kings wanted her. And Abraham lied about who she was in his life because he didn't want to die. Listen, he's not a perfect man in his behavior, and neither are you and I.
Amen.
But we are righteous by faith.
Amen.
We're righteous because of what Jesus did, not because of what we do. Do you understand that? That's what that means when it says righteous by faith. Look at Romans chapter 4. It explains this a little more. Romans chapter 4. Stay with me now. What I'm preaching today will change your life. People pay big money to go to financial seminars out in the world, you know, get rich quick seminars. I've done a few things like that over my lifetime. Not terribly. I haven't been too terribly scammed, praise the Lord. But there are people that pay big money for these seminars that are going to tell you how to get rich in 60 days, you know, how to invest in this and do that. And I've done some stupid stuff. Not too terrible, praise the Lord. I still got the shirt on my back. I'm thankful. But listen, I'm telling you what, the words of life you're hearing this morning will literally impact your bank account.
Amen. Yes, they will. Amen.
They will impact your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your neighbors. They will. It's going to change you if you'll receive it as the word of the Lord. Romans 4:5. But to him that worketh not. How many unemployeds do we have in here when it pertains to efforts to please God? To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for what? Righteousness. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. Say without works.
Without works.
Look at it here. Let me read it to you in the NIV 1984 edition. Romans 4:5. To the man who does not work, but trust God, who justifies not the ungodly. I like this word better. The wicked. Nobody wants to be classified as wicked. It's one thing to say, he's ungodly. But when you say a person's wicked, then they got a reputation, right? They got a tarnish going on, a little blot going there. But it says in the NIV, it says, God who justifies the wicked, that man's faith is credited as righteousness. If you got a little wickedness going on in your life, reach out to God in faith. And take the righteousness that comes to the wicked. Got an area in your life you can't seem to clean up? Just reach out in faith and say, I take righteousness by faith. I just can't see it happening to me, but by faith, it's there. Praise the Lord. It's there because of what Jesus did. Amen. This is not make-believe. This is faith in the Word. This is faith in a finished work. And when you and I put our faith in the finished work, the Bible says here in Romans 4:5, to him that works not. In other words, it's like a drowning man who the coast, you know, the lifeguard, people in here have been lifeguards before. You know how this works. If someone's drowning, they're flailing. You don't go anywhere near them. You might stick a pole out to them, but you don't go anywhere near them, or they'll pull you under too. But when they stop flailing and they're right on the brink of fainting and going under, that's when you go and rescue them. Amen. That's what this verse means. Romans 4:5. To him that worketh not. You've stopped flailing. You've stopped trying. And now you're trusting. To him who tries not, but trust, to that man, God justifies the wicked. That's how our salvation works. That's how it works. Hey, if you could see it, it wouldn't require faith. See, it takes faith to say, I am the righteousness of God. I am completely righteous in Christ Jesus. That takes faith, because we see our own flaws, do we not? It takes faith to say that from your mouth and believe it from your heart. If you could see it happening, if you behaved like a saint 24/7, I know some of you, and Judy does, but not all of us do. But if you could do that, then you wouldn't have to take any faith. But when you look at your life and you go, wow, flaw, stumble, fail, and yet you confess with your mouth, I am the righteousness of God. I am the perfection of God in Christ Jesus. That takes faith.
Amen.
That takes faith. And I'm telling you, where that faith is released, it makes room for God's glory and God's power. Jesus said it this way in John 11:40. He told Mary... I think it was Mary. It was either Mary or Martha. He told one of the sisters, to put it that way. He was talking to the sisters. And he said, did I not tell you, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God. Not if you tried, if you believed. You want to see the glory of God in your life? You want to see things change, improve? Believe. Believe in the work of Jesus. Believe in him who is sinless, who alone is perfection. And stop trying. And simply believe. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? Hallelujah. We can see the glory of God in every area. I like what Mrs. Newsom says about faith. That we had a book we promoted here for a good while, many years, called The Life of Faith. If you don't have it, put that on your reading list. The Life of Faith by Carmela Newsom. C. Newsom. Cornelia, excuse me. Carmela Cornelia. Cornelia Newsom. The Life of Faith. She said this, God would have us believe without any confirmation. What does faith look like? It means believing when you see no difference. Faith believes when there's no evidence other than His word, His promise. God would have us believe without any confirmation. Are you standing for healing in your body? Are you standing for a change in your finances? Are you standing for your spouse to start behaving well? What about when nothing's changed? Faith believes when there's no change. God would have us believe without any confirmation. Amen. That's true faith. Because if you saw the change, it wouldn't take faith, would it? Because you'd see it right before your eyes. See, the world says seeing is believing. That's not true in the kingdom. Believing is when you don't see a thing. That's faith. So some of you have been feeling like lately, my prayers aren't getting answered. God's mad at me. Nothing's changed. Nope. Just welcome to the faith club. Amen. Welcome to the faith club. Yep. You're in good company. Abraham believed against all hope, the Bible says, Romans 4. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed when he had nothing but the promise of God. That's it. Just the promise. Can you stand in faith when you have only the promise? You don't have to answer that out loud because we're going to put you to the test. Your life will put it life will put you to the test. But if you can believe when you see nothing else but the promise, that's faith. That's faith. Our church name, BFC, starts with Believers Fellowship Church. We are believers, right?
Yes.
Before the evidence appears, we believe. And we keep on believing. Listen, our part is to reckon by faith. That word is that right out of the King James in Romans, the book of Romans. Reckon. Say reckon.
Reckon.
It ought to feel natural. That's a Texas word. I reckon. It's a beautiful day out, don't you think? I reckon. Yeah, that's what the Cowboys used to say, right? I reckon. That's a Texas. We're comfy with that. The Bible says we are to reckon by faith. What does that mean? It means to consider and to confess. Our part is to reckon by faith. God's part is to make the reckonings real.
Amen.
Our part is to reckon by faith. That means consider it so in our heart, even when the evidence isn't there, and to confess it with our mouth as if it's so. Now listen, you don't have to tell everybody in your world your faith. They'll think you're crazy. But not us believers. Well, you're in good company. You can talk your faith around believers. Just be careful where you talk your faith. Joseph talked his dreams around his brothers. They threw him in a pit. You want to be thrown in a pit? Go tell the unbelieving heathen, right? No, keep your confession in the right company. But among believers who are walking in faith like you are, you can share that. My children are restored. My children are reconciled. And your friend goes, have you seen lately? Seen who they've been running with? They weren't home for 3 nights. I saw your lights were, your close friends will know. But listen, but your believing friends will know you're saying it by faith.
That's right.
Yep. So say it among the right company. But you can say what God's put in your heart. Whatever promise He's put in your heart, you can say it. My children are reconciled. My children are restored. Our part is to reckon. God's part is to make that reckoning real. Romans 4, you're still in chapter 4, right? Let's look at verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world, that's a powerful, powerful phrase right there in the King James. Talking about Abraham. The promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Look at it here on the screen in the New Living Translation. It really clarifies that verse. But if you have your Bible there, underline that phrase, heir of the world. That's powerful. Look at it here in the New Living Translation. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants. Now, that's talking about not just Abraham, not just the Jewish people. Because honestly, God didn't give the whole earth to the Jewish people. He gave Israel to the Jewish people. He gave Canaan land to the Jewish people. He didn't give the whole earth. In fact, he set specific boundaries. He said, you can't go over there and touch Moab. You can't go over there and touch Edom. He said certain boundaries. But this verse says here, he gave the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants. Who is Abraham's ultimate descendant? Jesus. Jesus was the seed of Abraham. So that's what this is talking about. Jesus gets the whole earth. Amen. Abraham, his descendants, we believers, and Jesus have been given the whole earth. It's not based on his obedience to God's law. You could also paraphrase that effort. Say effort. It's not based on your effort, but it's on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. We read in Genesis 24:1, Abraham was blessed in all things. This verse says that God's promise was to Abraham to give him the whole world. We know that one day Jesus will inherit the whole earth. Amen? Jesus will be Lord of all. And we as his descendants, as his children of faith, and we connected to Jesus Christ are heirs, co-heirs of the whole world. Do you get that?
Yes.
Does that excite you?
Yes.
Some of you believed God for years. You said, man, I could just have a ranch. I'd love to have 50 acres in a beautiful part of Texas. I'm telling you, God wants to give you more than that. But even just that, let's just take 50 acres. That's a fair amount of grass to mow. Amen, Mike? I don't want to spend my time in the yard on that. But 50 acres is a nice thought. Let's just take that as an example. You set your heart on that and you start believing God for that. I'm telling you, through the righteousness of faith, by believing God, not by your effort. You say, there's no way I could come up with enough money to buy 50 acres. It's okay. You don't have to do it yourself. Because Jesus, what he accomplished at Calvary, can affect even your inheritance in this life. I don't know how to explain that. And that's a whole sermon series for another time. But this phrase, the heir of the world. There are certain dreams that God's put in your heart. God wants to bring those dreams to pass. And it's only going to come not by effort, not by effort on your part. It's going to come by believing, by faith.
Amen.
That's what this verse is telling us. There's a lot of power packed in this verse, Romans 4:13. Jesus promised us that we would be heirs of the world. Listen, you think it's a big thing. I'm a preacher up here promising you could have 50 acres. I'm telling you, in the world to come, you're going to have worlds. You're going to have galaxies. You're going to have planets to rule. That's what Jesus is setting us up for. Do you understand that?
Yes.
I don't know how that works, actually. I want to stay close to earth. I know there's oxygen here, but I'm telling you, this salvation we're talking about is bigger than we've comprehended. And before you and I leave this lifetime, God would like to manifest some of these blessings in us to show the world the power of Jesus.
Amen.
It's not about you hoarding. It's not about you being greedy or me being greedy. That's our old nature anyways. It's been crucified. We're not worried about that. But God said here that Abraham was promised to be the heir of the world. Abraham and his descendants, we're part of that family. We're part of that legacy. Take that as a promise from God. Amen? An accompanying verse to that is Galatians 4:30. Can you hop over to Galatians real quick? We've still got plenty of time. The roast isn't near being done. Galatians 4:30. Whataburger's just now getting their grill hot. So yeah, we got time. How many of you have never read that verse in Romans 4:13? You've just never seen that, what we just read about being heir of the world. Anybody, is that new to some of you? It was new to me several years ago. I'd never really, that verse had never really made any sense to me, but I'm telling you, we have a promise, and some of you will get it in this lifetime. So, you know, there's a lot of Christians that will live and die, and they won't get half of the promises that God's made available to them in Christ Jesus. And that's okay. They're all going to heaven. They'll be there when we get there. But there's so much more that God has for us in this life. Amen? For those whosoever will, be like an attitude like Caleb. What did Caleb say? Give me this mountain. I'm 85. Give me this mountain. I'm still waiting for it. I'm still pressing into my promise. Give me this mountain. Galatians 4. Nevertheless, verse 30. What says the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. Who's the bondwoman in this verse talking about?
Hagar.
Hagar, the Egyptian slave that Abraham had a child with. And who was that child?
Ishmael.
One who's making problems out of Iran right now. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. What does that verse mean to you and I? Let me say it this way. Ishmael represents effort. Self-effort. Isaac represents what? A child of promise. There's no way two old people in their ages, Sarah and Abraham, could have a child at their age. 80 and 90, what, 99? 99 and 90? They could not have a child at that age. Isaac is a child of promise. Ishmael is a child of effort, human effort. And this verse says here, cast out human effort. Can I say it that way? Mm-hmm. Cast out slavery and human effort, Hagar and Ishmael, for those two will never inherit, partake of, the son of the free woman. God wouldn't have you and I not to lay hold of his promises through effort. Effort won't cut the mustard. And this happened, by the way, if you want to reference it, Galatians 4:30 is referring back to Genesis 21:10. Genesis 21:10, that's when this story took place. And Hagar said, no way Ishmael's going to stay in this house. He's not going to partake of one thing from the inheritance that's supposed to go to Isaac. And Abraham had to run her off, run Hagar off and run Ishmael. That seems cold-hearted, doesn't it? Run off a single mom and her son. But God let him do it. God said, listen to your wife. She's right. Why? Because it was a symbol. Do you get that?
Yeah.
Folks, this is for us. Make sure your mind's with me now. This is symbolic of today for you and I. You're not going to inherit the blessings of God through your effort. That's what Hagar and Ishmael represent. Self-effort, trying to keep the law. We can't do it. But through Isaac. Isaac represents simply believing a promise. That's what Isaac symbolizes. Amen. Through believing the promise, we will inherit. This is how faith operates. Look back at Romans chapter 10. Romans 10. And we'll wrap up with this verse. Romans 10, verse 5. Romans 10, 5. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, quote, that the man that doeth these things shall live by them. Underline that word doeth. Circle the word doeth. Highlight doeth. That's related to what? Law. Law and doing. Verse 6, but the righteousness which is of faith speaketh. Circle speaketh. Highlight speaketh. Law doeth. Faith speaketh. There were seasons in my life when the financial thing just was not happening for Terry and I. And I got into some efforts. I tried to start up a little side business to make some money. Nobody wanted my side business. Nobody wanted my services. What was I doing? Effort. I was doeth. I was doething. And nothing was happening. But the righteousness which is of faith doesn't do, it speaks. What does it speak? It speaks the promises of God. Now there come a point along that journey of faith that God will have you do something. It's not always about just speaking, right? But we understand that faith has to exercise first, not effort. Faith. So faith goes before effort in speaking the promise of God. Faith goes before. And after the speaking, then God may say, okay, now go down to the bank and see if they'll, you know, get you that capital loan to get this business started. Whatever, however God directs you. There is a doing to faith. Amen? It's not all about speaking. But it starts with speaking. Usually it starts with speaking. The righteousness which is of faith always starts with speaking. We believe in our heart. We speak with our mouth. In fact, faith is not really faith until it's spoken. It's not enough to believe in the heart. You got to confess with your mouth. Amen? Well, this applies to every area that we're believing for this morning, guys. It applies to righteousness. Since Easter, we've been preaching about being washed, being sanctified, being justified. We are justified by faith, right? Like Abraham, we're justified by speaking the righteousness of Christ over our life. Your family may think you're crazy, but you still act bad, Henry. You still got a bad temper. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Because the righteousness of faith speaketh, even before it sees any change, before it sees any evidence of anything different. And where we believe and where we speak, where faith activates, God pours his power.
Amen.
Did he not do it for Lazarus? All Jesus had to do was get faith out of him. Enough faith to roll away the stone. Would you just move the stone? But Jesus, just move the stone. That's faith. That act of faith got him a resurrection. Stand together with me. Natalie, could I have you come and just play the guitar a little bit? There's so much more to say about this, and we'll say more in the weeks ahead. God's not letting us off the hook with regard to faith, because living by faith is where the victory's at. Amen? Living by faith is where the victory's at. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Amen? And faith always expresses itself through what we say. It always speaks. Faith speaks. 2 Corinthians 4:13. It was on our business card the first several years we were in existence. We believe, therefore we speak. Amen? So whatever area you need help in, whatever area you're reaching out to God for, don't quit believing. Don't quit speaking. This is how Abraham got where he was at. This is how he got into the blessing of all things. This is what got Abraham a child in his old age. Don't you know the satisfaction of 99-year-old Abraham at 100 years? What is it, 100 when he was born? I think it was 100 when he was born. I have to look up my numbers again. But he's sitting back on that day when Sarah's holding this baby. Here's this old lady holding the baby. And the old man's just sitting back. He's going, shaking his head going, amazing, amazing grace. got the promise. But what did he have to do to get to there? I mean, that was years and years of believing, speaking, saying his own name, which made no sense, father of many nations. Every time Sarah called him for dinner, called him, you know, to do this honeydew or that honeydew, she was speaking faith in the house. He was answering to faith by responding to that name. Folks, this is our life. This is the life we're called to. If you need prosperity, you need healing, you need reconciliation of relationships, whatever it is you're believing God for, take it by faith, by your speaking. The end of the book closes out this way. Revelation 22, 17 says, "He that is thirsty, let him take of the water of life." Faith takes. Faith takes by speaking, by declaring what God has told you. Amen? Whatever he's told you to be true. This is going to be a glorious year. I thought last year was going to be great. I'm telling you, 24, when we get to our Christmas party this year, is going to be amazing. Because grace is multiplied unto us. And it's not coming because of our efforts. It's coming by grace through faith. Just like Abraham got it. Amen? Reach out and receive that today. Just receive the promise of God in your life. Whatever it is you need from Jesus. I'm telling you, he's here to satisfy you and more. He's here to meet your needs and then some. You can't overexhaust the supply of Jesus in your life. You can't pull too much from heaven and God says, no more. You got to give us some time to refill the bank account. No, there is more than enough in heaven for you. There's more than enough blessing for your life and mine. Just reach out and take it today in Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for what we see in Abraham. Thank you for the blessing of Abraham coming to us in all things. For your grace multiplying to us, Jesus, in 2024 as never before. Through the Holy Spirit, through the power of your grace, your goodness, through faith. Hallelujah. We receive it today in Jesus' name. Amen. Take it, saints. Some of you may have lost an inheritance years ago. Maybe someone passed in your family and you thought you were going to get this, thought you were going to get that, and something just dissipated and you had these shattered dreams in your heart. And God's saying to you, I can recover that. Amen. I can recover that. Put that Romans 4:13 back up on the board, please, Alan. NLT. Let's look at that verse one more time as we close out today. So powerful. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience, not on his efforts, right? Not on you and I winning the favor of this or the favor of that or things working out right financially or just whatever mess you and I have been through. It doesn't matter. Because it's not based on our efforts, our obedience to God's law, our perfection, if you will, but on a right relationship with God coming through faith. Are you right with God today? A couple of you are confident. Because you understand, it's not about what I did or didn't do. Amen. It's by faith. Amen. I'm as righteous as Jesus. Amen. Which puts me in alignment for Abraham's blessings in all things. The whole earth. Some of you are going to get a hold of it. Praise the Lord. I'm going to be excited to see what you lay hold of. Amen. By faith. Amen. It's exciting. And it will show the glory and power of God, just like it did when Isaac was there in his mama's arms. And daddy's sitting back just admiring the whole scene. It's just amazing. God's going to do amazing things in this year. Amen? Amen. Be blessed in the Lord. Guys, we'll see you tonight at 5:00. Be blessed. Amen.